Today's passage comes from Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through 21, but we're just going to read up to verse 11. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through 11. I'll read it to you. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me for... What will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. With the sermon title, God's Promise, I would like to share God's grace with you. If we look at Abraham's life up to chapter 15, we can see that he has experienced many incidents, and there were so many ups and downs in his life. He obeyed to God's call, and he left his hometown. He arrived at Promised Land, but there was a famine in the land. And he immediately left the Promised Land to find a better life in Egypt. Then there he lied about his wife and had his wife stolen by Pharaoh. But God intervenes to save his wife and came back to Bethel. He came back to Bethel, but he had a conflict with his nephew Lot over a property issue. So Lot left Abraham to go to Sodom. Then there was a war, and Lot was taken captive. So Abraham took 318 men to go save Lot, and he won the war. And he was greeted by high priest Melchizedek and gave him a tenth of everything as a way of thanksgiving, which is what we talked about it last time, right? Did we? Just as Abraham, we experience so many things in our lives. We have to go through conflicts, limitations, and difficulties, and barriers. Lots of dramas in our lives. There's ups and downs, and happy and sad times. But how we respond to such situations differ based on our spiritual state. Meaning, when we are spiritually strong to face such situations, none of these really matters, right? We want to do anything for God, right? We feel like we can do anything for the Lord, right? And we're willing to sacrifice for his sake. And we want to have an intimate fellowship with him through prayers and meditating his word. And we enjoy worshiping him and living for his glory despite the situation. But on the other hand, when we are spiritually weak, we forget about grace and that we have received from God. And we complain, we grumble, we doubt, we fear before unsatisfactory situation. And we choose to live apart from God and choose to go after our own desire. But even after the ups and downs, after time passes by, when we look back, we put all these pieces together, we can see how each pieces make a beautiful picture. We can see how our faith has grown and our personality has matured. We have also seen how Abraham is maturing as a man of faith after so many incidents. But it seems like Abraham, he still has a question. According to verse 1, the Lord tells Abraham to not fear. Let's take a look at verse 1 again. It says, After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. This tells us that even going through all these times, Abraham was still in fear. Then what was his fear? It was a question that would God keep his promise? Have you ever questioned this to God? Would you keep your promise to me? That was Abraham's question. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God promised Abraham that I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And after Lot leaving Abraham, God promised Abraham once again in Genesis 13, 16, that I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. He was 75 years old when he first received this promise and left his hometown. And we can assume that he is now 85 years old. It's been 10 years since he waited for this promise to be fulfilled, but nothing happened to him. Instead, there were so many dramas that he had to go through, which seems irrelevant to what God promised him. So as Abraham gets older and the chance of becoming father of nation becomes lower, not even the father of nation, but just simply to be a father becomes lower, he must have felt anxious, nervous, and afraid. In this kind of situation, where there seems to be no way, and realistically seems impossible to accomplish the goal, it is natural to have a fearful or doubtful mind. These conflicts and fears are in our lives too. I'm sure all of you chose your careers and majors with some kind of vision or purpose. Some of us may have received God's promise and are patiently waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. But when we see the reality filled with barriers, limitations, then we can become frustrated, doubtful, and fearful, especially when things are happening in an unexpected and unwanted way. Then we become doubtful in despair and fear. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. This was actually a promise that God gave me when he called me to the seminary. It was exactly like this. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. He gave me, when he called me as a pastor, he called me to be a preacher, to go around the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I thought, when I received the calling and went to the seminary, I thought I was going to be a Billy Graham. Right? I was going to be a preacher and just, be a vessel for God's kingdom. And I thought I was going to be used immediately. But when I went to the seminary, it was totally opposite. I didn't really get a chance to preach. And I had to just worry about what to eat. And every day was a struggle. It was nothing like what God has promised me. And I had to ask this question a lot. Would God keep your promise? Will you keep your promise? Didn't you call me? Didn't you make this promise to me? But look at me now. I feel like I'm nothing. It was nothing like what God has promised me. And I was really depressed, disappointed. I was really doubtful, and I was fearful. What am I going to do now? Right? Are you serious? Is this a reality? Romania church leader, Reverend Richard Wurmbrand, spent 14 years in prison as a result of persecution on on Christianity. He read the Bible, and he found out that the expression, do not fear, appears 365 times in the Bible. So he thought that God telling not to fear 365 times in the Bible means do not fear every day for 365 days, which made him to endure 14 years of imprisonment. Well, some people say there are 366 times because of the leap year, but you get the point. Do not fear every day, right? So don't get too obsessed with like, is it 365, 366? That doesn't matter. The point is, do not fear every day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Then why does anxiety or fear occurs? It's because of humans' impatience. We tend to be impatient and so quick to make judgment and decision. So this is why we make mistakes, get frustrated, and become fearful. But one with faith must know how to wait. We must believe and trust in God's promise and wait until His time, not our own. You know, if you look at the Israelites, when they were became a captive in by Babylonians, God said, you have to wait 70 years. You have to wait 70 years as a captive, and then I will let you to come back to their land, right? So there is a reason why God gave us 70 years. You know, although we may think, oh, maybe seven days is enough for me, God. Maybe 7 years is enough for me. That's enough. That's my max, right? But that's my way of thinking. That's my will. God's will is 70 years. But it seems long, right? It seems impossible. But there's a reason why God chose 70 years. It was to prepare them. It was to have them ready as a true Christian before they come back to their own land. So there's a reason, and that's why we must believe and trust in God's promise and wait until His time. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 21 says, you shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God will send hornets among them until those who are left and hide themselves from you are destroyed. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Did you catch something in these two verses? If you pay a little bit more attention to these verses, you will notice that whenever God says, do not fear, that it is always followed by this saying, for I am your God. For I am your God. Anyone want to write down Deuteronomy chapter 7:21 and Isaiah 41:10? If you go back and you can read it, if you look at it, do not fear. It says, for I am your God. This is His promise. You know, the reason why we do not fear is not because we are brave, not because we're so faithful, so confident, and everything seems visible and possible, but because despite the situation, God becomes our God. He becomes God of John. He becomes God of Ken, becomes God of David, right? Is this amen? God becomes our God. Our situation may seem vague, uncertain, and impossible. But what He's saying is that, I know you can't do it, but I will do it for you because I am your God. So can you just trust me and wait? So ultimately, what happened to Abraham? After 25 years, he received Isaac and he became the father of nation. Promise fulfilled. This tells us that He surely fulfills the promise. He has the power to answer our prayers immediately. But before answering, God wants our faith to mature through waiting. But while we wait for His promise, He promised in verse 1 that He will be your shield and your reward shall be very great. It's not like He's leaving us alone. It's like, oh, I'm not going to do anything for you, just wait. No, He becomes our shield. We are citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are His citizens, then He will protect us and He will take care of us. Psalm 91:4 says, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. So fearing is a sign that we are not trusting Him. But see how Abraham responds to God's promise. Verse 2 and 3 says, but Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. He's protesting to God that since you didn't give me a child, I will make one of my servants to be my heir. This is how we pray when we lose our trust and are in fear. Rather than patiently waiting for his answer, we tend to inject our thoughts to God, and we list down many reasons why my thoughts are reasonable and logical. Then we immediately try to find our own solution to solve the problem. Maybe he's right. Since he has no children, it may be quicker to just adopt one of the servants to be his heir. But remember, prayer is not to force God to get what I want. Prayer is to seek and discover God's will. And we need to remember that God's way and method is different from ours. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts that are your thoughts. So see how God responds to Abraham. Verse 4 to 5 says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and said, 'Look toward heaven, and number the stars, if you are able to number them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" So rather than God giving up on Abraham, he reminds Abraham once again about the promise he had with Abraham, and he brings him outside to see the stars. Now, sometimes we are disappointed, frustrated, and discouraged because God's response is late. But God once again confirms his promises and encourages us to keep our faith strong. Verse 6 to 7 says, "And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to possess.'" Then Abraham asks another question. And this time his question is a little bit upgraded. Verse 8 says, "But he said, 'O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?'" What he's saying is that, okay, now I believe that you will fulfill your promise, but show me the proof. Give me the proof. You know, this is not maybe a wrong question to ask, but it is definitely not a healthy question to ask. You know, I have asked this kind of question many, many times because I was the type of person who believes what I see. So God had to show me many clear proof that are irrefutable. Poor God. I feel sorry to him. But since my days were so cloudy and nothing was certain, I had to ask this question. God, you say you will use me. This is the promise that you have given me. But I can't see anything. I can't see anything. Show me the proof. Show me the proof. But God is gracious. And oftentimes, God gives proof to those who need proof. So God has shown me many ways to prove that he will keep his promise. And I think he is keeping his promise. I'm still standing here preaching. Amen. You know, Thomas asked Jesus to prove his resurrection, and Jesus showed him his pierced body. And God is showing proof to Abraham that his promise will be fulfilled. Verse 9 and 10 says, "He said to him, 'Bring me a heifer 3 years old, female goat 3 years old, ram 3 years old, turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' And he brought him all these, but them in half, and laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in half. It was an ancient contract law to bring sacrificial offering, which means a live animal, to cut them in half and laid each half over against the other. But one thing I want to point out here is that he did not cut the birds in half because this was not an offering to God. It was a contract. So if this is for offering to God, then you have to cut the birds in half as well. So anyways, cutting the sacrificial offering in half and have them face each other means that if you break this promise or contract, then you will die just like this dead body of an animal. So this is a sign. This is to emphasize that God will fulfill his promise. But there was a condition. Take a look at verse 13 and 15. Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your offspring will be a sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there. And they will be afflicted for 400 years, but I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possession. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age." God is saying that before he fulfills his promise, Abraham's descendants will be oppressed for 400 years. And after 400 years, then I will give you this land to your descendants. Then he passes between these pieces. Verse 17 says, "When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces." And after the contract has been concluded, God reminds of the promise again in verse 18 through 21. It says like this, "On the day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, 'To your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of Kenites and Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites.'" The land God promised to give is not an empty land, but it is a land filled with these people. In other words, they will not just sit down and achieve this land, but they have to fight for it. But before they fight, they have to wait 400 years and be prepared. What this tells us is that even if we have promise from God, there can still be many barriers, hardships, time of waiting before us. Sometimes you have to go through the spiritual battle to achieve the promise. Oftentimes you have to carry the heavy spiritual weight and you have to endure the pains. You have to go through many issues, problems, and dramas. And you might have to wait 5, 10 years, 70 years, 400 years. But God wants you to go through and fight for it. I don't mean you literally have to fight with others to achieve things, but fight with the darkness that makes you fear, doubt, and grumble so that your faith grows and you'll be able to handle the bigger things for God. But what we need to remember is that there's a glory after suffering. That's a good news. Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Jesus received glory. But before the glory, there was the way of crucifixion. Without that suffering, there was no glory. So we need to remember that suffering itself is not a problem. It is not a pain. It is an opportunity to blessing, to achieve God's promise in our lives. I would like to conclude my message. According to Bible Gateway, there are 5,467 God's promises in the Bible. Again, don't be obsessed with 5,467. You may find less or more, but the point is, there are lots of promises in the Bible. And if we believe these things, then these promises will become your blessings. It's a blessing not only to certain people, but it's a blessing to all of his children. But the secret to achieve, believe in this promise, is not by your power, but by the grace of God. So I want to ask this question to you. Is there anyone who is afraid because there is an uncertainty in your life? Is there anyone who is struggling with a reality that seems irrelevant to what God promised to you? Is there anyone who is nervous and anxious because of the limitation you have in your life? Is there anyone being doubtful about God's promise? Is there anyone going through a time of loneliness? Because the place you're standing Nothing seems like it is God's promise. Remember the promise that God makes with Abraham and with you. Fear not, I am your God. I will be with you. His grace will strengthen your faith. And with this faith, I want you to follow Jesus into the world. Follow Jesus into your homes, workplace, and your church to achieve his great promises, so that the world can see the glory of God through you. And I bless all of you to be his vessel and be a blessing for his kingdom to show his glory to the world. Let's pray. As we pray, I want us to meditate on the message that we have heard today. Is anyone struggling because it seems like God's promise is not fulfilling in your lives? Is anyone who is afraid because of your uncertainty in your life? Anyone struggling with the reality that seems irrelevant to God, what God promised to you? Anyone nervous, anxious? Anyone struggling because of your limitation in your life? Anyone being doubtful? Anyone feel like you're alone? Anyone feel like God is not there for you? At this time, I want us to stay still before God's presence. And I want all of you to hear this voice. Fear not. I am your God. I will be with you. As we pray, let's just lay down all of our darkness in our lives, uncertainty, struggles, nervousness, anxiousness, anything that is interrupting, anything that is blocking our hearts to come before the Lord. Let's lay it down before him, and let's ask for his grace once again, and let's hold on to this promise that God says, fear not, I am your God. God, you are my God. You are my Father. I know that you are with me. Let's hold on to this promise and just come before the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Father God, this morning, we want to hear your voice saying, fear not, I am your God, I will be with you. May we hold on to this promise, and as even if we go or walking through uncertainties, difficulties, many barriers, limitations, Lord, I pray that it is not by our power, but it's by your grace and power that we will live, walk the path of victory. Pray that you will be with us and you will empower us with your grace once again and help us to hold tight to your promise and help us not become doubtful, be afraid, but just help us to rely on your eternal mercy and your wisdom and your almighty power. We thank you so much once again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.